In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ has ascended. Yes. Today we celebrate the memory of the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, and the readings, the Epistle and the Gospel, are in their memory. In today's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the first part of today's Gospel, He expounds upon His glory. His glory, with which He is about to be glorified. And He speaks of it as a mutual glorification, that the Father will glorify the Son, and the Son will glorify the Father. He begins his prayer, he's actually praying to the Father, saying, "Father, the hour has come." And here he announces the time of his glorification. Now, this prayer comes just before Christ is to be arrested and crucified. The time of his glorification is the cross. And this sounds ironic to us, right? Because the cross is an instrument not just of death, not just of torture, but also of humiliation. It was a form of punishment that was only used by Romans on non-Romans. Roman citizens could not be crucified, only non-Romans, because it was a way for them to humiliate subjected people. But this time of apparent humiliation, Christ announces to be the time of His glorification, when the Father will glorify Him, and also when He will glorify the Father. He goes on to tell us what the occasion of that glorification is. So what is going to happen that will bring about this glorification? He is going to give eternal life to all those whom the Father has given Him, because the Father has given Him the power to give them eternal life. Through the cross, He is going to defeat the power of death. But more than that, he goes on to say this is eternal life. Not just to go on living perpetually, but that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That intimate knowledge of our Creator, that union, it's not just an intellectual knowledge, but a relational knowledge. That word know is used in the Bible in a relational sense. That He is going to, through the cross, restore our access to the Father, restore our communion and reconcile us to the Father so that we may know Him, as well as knowing Jesus Christ, His Son. And this will not just bring us perpetual animation, but true life. Life that's worth living. Fulfillment and meaning. Peace and joy. All of these things are going to be brought about through the cross, bringing Him glory and bringing His Father glory. And then finally, in that first paragraph of our reading in the bulletin, the Lord describes the manner of the glorification. What kind of glory is He going to be endowed with? "Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." That Jesus Christ hanging on the cross will reveal the identity of the Father. He will reveal the self of the Father, that who the Father is will become apparent through him hanging on the cross, and that will be his glory. And as this is revealed, it will be revealed as the glory which he himself has had as the true Son of the Father from before the world was for all eternity. And so we see why this gospel was chosen to celebrate the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, because their calling from God, their purpose in meeting in that council was to thwart the heresy of Arius by asserting the complete equality of the God the Father and God the Son. That they share the divine nature perfectly. They share the same glory. They share the same power, the same knowledge. That mutuality that Christ announces in the glorification also speaks to their eternal connection, their eternal interpenetration and communion. So what is this glory that Christ has described that will be revealed at the time of the cross through his giving of eternal life, eternal true life to all mankind, revealing who the Father is, and in the process glorifying not just Jesus Christ, but glorifying the Father as well. This glory that will be revealed is the glory of his love. The glory of his complete self-abandoning love. That the Son of God, who remained perpetually without any worry or distress or care, so to speak, in heaven, was willing to take upon himself our lowly nature, not just lowering himself by taking on the status of a creature, but also entering into this realm of sin and death that we have created by our choices. And enduring all of that in order to be with us, to remain with us through all of it, so that we might see his love and respond to that love and come to him, willing at the last to allow us to nail him to a cross, refusing to do what was fully within his rights to call down, as he says, 12 legions of angels to wipe out all of those who sought to do him harm, which was his right, and yet foregoing all rights and all honor in order to rescue us from the power of sin. This is his true glory. And it is God's glory. It is the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not their, phenomenal cosmic powers. That's not their glory. Their glory is not wisdom and knowledge and insight and all of these things. That's not really God's glory. God's glory is his love, because that is his self. In 1 John, we read that God is love. So this is what is revealed on the cross as the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the glory of the Father, the glory of God throughout all eternity. And this is the glory that we are called to as well. The writings of the apostles promise us glorification. So justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification means being made righteous. Sanctification means being made holy. And glorification means being made glorious, but it's not in a worldly sense, but in this divine sense, to be made glorious in our love, in our self-abandoning love. And it's important, I think, for us to remember that, especially in these days of crisis, of hurt, of political feuding, of violence in the streets, that through all of this, we are called as Christians to be beacons of love, just as Christ on that cross was a beacon of divine love, to be beacons of divine love, abandoning all of our all need for honor, all need for being right, all need of asserting ourselves in any given situation, abandoning all of those things so that we might serve one another for each other's good. So let us, brothers and sisters, undertake this calling and seek that glory which alone will last, the glory of God, which is now manifest in human flesh. To the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Happy feasts.